All right. Everybody ought to know that tune. It's called the Jive Samba. It's Cannonball Adderley and his quintet. This was taped live at the Riverside in 1962. His brother Nat on cornet, Yusuf Latif on flute, Joe Zawinul on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Louis Hayes on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and welcome to yet another edition. And today we'll be talking pretty much as a follow-up of what we were covering yesterday. We didn't have enough time to really allow those people who were online to participate because of time constraints. But we can make up for it today, as we will. President Donald J. Trump yesterday announced that all U.S. soldiers fighting in Syria will be brought home by mid-January. True to form, Trump announced his decision via Twitter, neither seeking nor taking advice from his experts on his plan. It isn't just another example of the chaos that has been the norm in the White House since Trump took office. It is yet another example of the president running his own show, his own program, no matter the likely consequences to the country. This is the kind of behavior that we've been talking about for quite some time, and we are encouraged to think, well, he's just a quirky guy. But as we have pointed out before, it is not a quirky trait. It is suggestive that the president has problems with his capacity to lead and to make sound decisions, and it's time that this become the focus, not just, some other thing that would take precedence over it, but it is a major problem, and it's time that people face up to it, especially in Congress. We should not be dilly-dallying around it. It's a very serious issue. So I thought we would combine the events of yesterday, how you interpret it, with the growing indication that Trump is freaking out, and it is likely that we will see some more irrational decision making, irrational behavior, and people are running, scattering, like the saying, when the lights come on, all the roaches scatter looking for protection in the dark. But this is very worrisome, I think. And, we've become so used to it, we've become almost numb to it. We think that, well, it will work itself out. Sooner or later, it will work itself out. And in any event, he's not going to be around for much longer, or he may just have 2 more years to go. Whatever the excuse is, or whatever the rationale is, and explanation is, but we have to ask ourselves a question: is this president falling apart? Is this president cogent? Is this president under some kind of medication that makes him unpredictable? Is this president to be trusted with this level of responsibility in leading a nation? That's the question we should be talking about today. And from your point of view, I touched on this yesterday. It is all well and good that we should read. We should read a lot. That's very helpful in helping us form our opinions. It broadens and deepens our point of view, but it is not a point of view. What we're looking for is how you translate all those things that you read, all those things that you are exposed to. What in the end does it mean in terms of your ability to digest the information for yourself to look for the meaning of things? That is how you develop the capacity to analyze. You don't just take, some person wrote a book, that's great. And I'm speaking as a person who's edited books. That's all well and good, and I'm not putting them down. That's very worthy work. But the intention from your perspective should be, how do I incorporate information into my reality? And what then is my reality after I've been exposed to this person saying this and that person saying the other? We should have onto ourselves an independent assessment of things. It has nothing to do with whether you're right or you're wrong, but it does help you to function independently. Develop your own reservoir of information. And that is a very revolutionary thing to do. You're an independent thinker. You have bases for comparison, of course. But in the end, what is interesting is your individual capacity to make sense of the universe that surrounds us. And that is what we should be engaged in talking about. It doesn't make sense for me or anybody else to listen to a book report. I could read books. I do read books. That is not the mission. The mission is to independently develop your own capacity to think and analyze. Okay? So, with those few remarks, 888-874-4888 is a number to call, and we'll use our time fruitfully in addressing the question I raised today and continuing the conversation from yesterday. Ron from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings, you trees, and to the whole community there, the listener community. I hope you're feeling
Thank
well
you.
today, and I'll get right
Yeah,
to it.
I'm better than yesterday.
I'm going to open door number one or two. I'm not sure which. Syria. So it's a unilateral decision the president seems to have made without consulting Congress. So my
Right.
first question to you, so I'm answering a question with a question. What would you think of a radio host who hailed his decision and informed us that Congress is in an uproar? Both sides of Congress seem to be totally against this decision, want to stay in Syria. I just want to remind you and everyone else that, to my knowledge, Syria never invited the U.S. to take any military action. Last thing I remembered is that Hillary, I spell it another way, I cross an L, but anyway, Hillary wanted a no-fly zone, which is pretty much like spitting in Russia's face. That was back then. Fortunately, she doesn't have that decision to make now. So, what would you think of an educated person who's broadcasting on the radio who says this is a good move? And I would agree on one, on the basis of one fact. It's peace. It's somebody talking about peace, and Congress doesn't want it.
Well, I don't agree that it is peace. I agree that it is a way to get out of hole, but as the Africans say, this is a case of, you know, digging a hole to fill a hole. The main question, again, comes back to the standard issue that we talk about all the time. What is the relationship between those who govern and those who are governed? Who has power? Now, here's Trump acting in his capacity as commander-in-chief, but doesn't do it quite the way it's supposed to be done. He's supposed to be consulting with his broad array of experts, and they were available. And according to the reports, they counseled him on this and told him it was a bad way to do it. It is not about whether we should all be grateful and happy that Trump single-handedly has decided to end the war or U.S. involvement in a war, which, by the way, it helped to start. But it is also about how you do things. There are many things to be considered here. And that is why a president, as commander-in-chief, leans on advice from people who know how to do these things and to do them in a way that does not create new problems. But instead, in typical Trump fashion, Trump believes this: the country is his private property, and he can do with it whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And it flouts certain understandings about how a president as commander-in-chief should come to the nation and explain things. You don't just say, well, okay, this is what we're going to do. No, that's, you do that when you're running, you know, a Trump property, something that's your own. And we've seen the consequence of how his leadership has basically sunk many of his own properties by lousy leadership. This happens to be a far more sophisticated thing, a far more serious thing, and it is not like the advice was not available or the assessment of experienced military people is not available. All of it was available, but this is the way he chose to operate.
I guess the Twitter is his version of Jimmy Carter's fireside chat.
But, so, it's very condescending. He's not in a position to chat with anybody. He doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't know how to chat.
I did say this was a unilateral decision, most likely. So I'm forced to wonder what made him do that. I'm forced to wonder what was he thinking. And so that leads me to the logical question, where is he getting his information, which is the larger question. Who's in control of our information? But not to dwell on that, I want to say that I believe the president disagrees with Amy Goodman about the white helmets and the barrel bombing and gassing of Bashar al-Assad's own people. I believe that he probably agrees more, and I'm attesting to where he might be getting his information from PRN.
My point is, I don't care where he's getting his information from. I care that it translates more often than not in stupid decisions that could cost us a great deal in the end. I care that it is consistent with a person who has a very distorted view of his power and how to use it. I care that something this serious does not yet rise to the level of national concern. I mean, we have had people point out that this president, there are some serious questions to answer about his psychological makeup and how he operates, and he continues to do it, and they continue to ignore it. Well, What if the president were to wake up tomorrow and say that, hey, you know, today's a good day to bomb somebody. Let's have a glorious bombing. Who is to stop him?
Oh, you mean like the multiple missile launching? And I wonder how many civilians died in that strike, although it was supposed to be in reaction to a report he got that
but
the president was
gassing. If you don't
people.
Mind, I would say we're worrying about the wrong thing. It's not about, well, how do you explain this and how do you explain that? Right now, at this stage, halfway through his presidential term, we have enough reason to question his mental capacity and to question his capacity to lead a nation and his capacity to serve as a commander-in-chief. That's what we need to be talking about. I'm not interested in talking about, well, did he do it the right way? Where did he get his information from? I don't care about that. He has enough resources available to him to do the right thing, to get the information that he would need to help him make a decent decision. His decisions in these major matters has been uniformly wrong. And that
should be concerned. We can agree on that. But if you're surrounded by people like John Bolton, Chuck Schumer, war hawks, you may not want to ask them their advice if all they do is just keep repeating the same broken record.
Let's not make excuses for Donald Trump. You are the president of the United States. You're not surrounded by people like John Bolton. You selected John Bolton. You purposely selected him to be in your midst, to play a very pivotal role in making your decisions.
Patrice Bolton's not too thrilled with this decision, along with Congress. I'm saying the people he's surrounded by are not. They're saying, what? He's off his rocker. They want him out, too. Don't you agree?
We shouldn't be concerned about, and we shouldn't have any more patience with this nonsense.
Okay,
what
you're
we should be concerned about is our collective safety being led, if you will, by somebody who clearly has some problems.
That's
what we ought to be concerned about.
This is an olive branch to Russia, probably. And I don't even, like you, I don't care what all the reasons are, but there are people out there, this is the last thing I'll say, who are thinking and feeling, this is too good to be true. Syria just have its country back. This is too good to be true. It peace. Oh, my gosh. It contradicts everything. So that's what I'm trying to focus on. That from my sources, and one of my, Gerald Celente is a peaceful person. And when he sees somebody doing something peaceful, it gives him hope. So I don't know what the reasons are for all the shenanigans and the political conniving and such, but he's doing everything the wrong way. But if the Mad Hatter is trying to declare peace, at least in one region of the many conflicts we're having worldwide, and what confirms it for me is when Congress says, no, you can't do that. And I'm sure that his war hawk cabinet is not happy with this. So I'm very, all of a sudden, I'm paying attention.
I am so over cabinet people and advisors and experts because they're all allowing a bad situation to get worse without publicly saying something about it. Is Donald Trump, does he have both oars in the water? That's what they ought to be addressing. I don't care about news people who have a fix on this and have a fix on that. That doesn't help us because none of them is raising the main question. What do you do with a runaway renegade president? What do you do? That's what this nation ought to be dealing with right now. Thanks for your call and getting us started today. Joe from Florida, you on the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. I just think that this decision by Trump was actually it's a pretty good deal. I think it's good for the world. You know,
the fact is we don't know. We are not military people. We are not military experts. We're talking from a very strange vantage point. We have no way of knowing right now whether this is a good or bad decision. It has not been debated. It has not been presented to the nation for consideration. We don't know. We have no idea whether Trump's singular announcement is, in fact, a great move or not. We don't know. We know that the system that should have made us understand what he was doing was not, he did not adhere to the way things are normally done, which is you come before the people, which is the opposition having an opportunity to examine his rationale for doing certain things. That hasn't happened. We don't know. We know that this guy went on Twitter and announced a monumental decision. We have no idea what the repercussions are likely to be. We know that Vladimir Putin is very happy about his decision. That should make us a little bit uncomfortable. But we're saying here, why is this president allowed to consistently flout the way of doing things? Why is he consistently allowed to do it? And we still don't know whether, even with the announcement that the troops will be withdrawn, what does that mean? What will take the place of it, which is one thing, but just what does it mean? You're bringing the troops home, fine. What does it mean? So I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed at all that this president decided, well, he doesn't need to talk to anybody. He certainly doesn't need to talk to the nation. He just sends us a notice via Twitter of a monumental matter, the consequences of which we still don't know. That's what bothers me more than anything else. Ernie from New York, you're on the air.
I can hardly hear you. I think I have a little problem with the connection, but can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I just have a comment, and then I'm going to hang up. The way the media is portraying it is that the U.S. Won, and then they're withdrawing. I think that's not quite correct.
That's how Trump is positioning it.
Correct,
he has announced unilaterally that the ISIS and whatever terrorists we supposedly were fighting there, they've been vanquished and mission accomplished. And
right.
For that reason, basically, they could come home now.
When I heard that, I kind of was laughing a little bit, jiggling, because, I mean, Russia was invited by the Syria years ago, a couple years ago, to take care of this ISIS problem, and Russia came in and, you know, did all the bombing or whatever, and U.S. was completely out of the picture. Then they came in later on to, I think, in the southern part of Syria, there was some activity there, including with the Kurds. But it's not quite correct that we won. Actually, Russia won.
Not at
Syria.
All.
So that's just the point that I want to bring up. At least the New York Times didn't state it that way in their front page today. It just indicates that two troops are pulling out. But I think some of the PRN News and some of the others, PRN, I think it is. They're stating that.
NPR.
I'm sorry. Yeah, NPR. Thank you. You kids, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is not a situation where you have to declare just outright allegiance to our head of state. And if he says, well, mission is accomplished and so forth, I'm not interested in the rationale. I'm interested in his action. And yet another time in which the president has taken what appears to be unilateral action without the input of people who are in a position to counsel and advise and who should counsel and advise, and that includes Congress. The president should have made a major speech about this. Members of Congress should have had the opportunity to question him about what is this withdrawal. And then after withdrawal, then what? And how? What plans are made for the absorption of these returning troops? You know, how is this going to be done? What is the plan? He has no plans. And he does these things and puts the country, this is what we need to focus on, puts the country at great risk when you decide that only you matter. You lead and everybody else is supposed to follow and not ask you any questions. This is wrong. This is not, quote, American, unquote. Gilbert from South Carolina. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, hi, Latrice. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for your show. I like your show very much. So there's a few things I'd like. I mean, for one thing, okay, I see your point, but we understand that there's a military-industrial complex that will always say yes to war, right? So if he went and said, hey, should we go to, they would say no, because so many of the congressmen are within the pockets of the corporations that make these billions and billions of dollars, of which at least 51% of our federal income tax money is being taken for. So we have a president that's acting like a loose cannon, but maybe that's why he was voted in. Now let's look, now by comparison, let's look at our constitutional lawyer president that was very rational and logical, at least from the way I saw it. He looked very rational and logical to me. And what passed rationally was the rescindment of habeas corpus, something that should have been passed. Was that a rational decision? Was that something that the people would have liked, that we don't have habeas corpus anymore, that corporations now have the same rights as people, which was also passed under our constitutional lawyer president, that money is speech, money is considered campaign contributions, yes, is speech.
But you're off base. So, you're off the topic. You're off base. You're talking apples and oranges. Let's stick with the apples.
Okay.
The question that was raised, that I raised, is whatever it is that Trump decided to do,
right,
it should have been a decision that came out of an entirely different process, which he continues to bypass, he continues to ignore, he continues to flout. It is as if he says, I am the country, I'm running things here. I don't need to engage Congress. I don't need to engage the people and find out what they think. They will have to live with the decision that I unilaterally make. I'm not making the case for war. I'm making the case that we have a president who has become very accustomed to making decisions the wrong way. And he has never been put in check about it. And even though there's nothing major happening now, it is quite possible that just merely the unilateral announcement of a withdrawal would create other dynamics, which we don't control, that would be lethal in other parts of the world. You know, I don't understand this at all. And nobody's saying anything. Nobody's questioning, is the president in his right mind? Is this the way that we should now become accustomed to getting to know things by Twitter? Whether you're entering a war or you're retreating from one. There are processes in place. He is to be accountable to somebody for decisions as monumental as these. He can't be left to run things the way he wants to. He is not America. Now,
right.
All the decisions that he has made before that yielded disastrous results came about as a result of the same kind of process. He goes out there and he does his thing. Look, you're not running Mar-a-Lago. This is not one of your golf courses. You're running a country. And last time I looked, there is a constitution and there's a way in which Congress is supposed to be involved in matters like these. You don't just, sneak a piece of information on Twitter and that's the way you regard the country. I don't think so.
The Vietnam War.
It's like that.
Right.
We have to insist that this president either understands how he is to serve as commander in chief. He has no military experience whatsoever. And he occupies not only the presidency, but the role of commander-in-chief, and this is how he does it. And he's done it several times. He's done it with trade agreements. He's bolted from trade agreements, behaving rather erratically, which I think justifiably raises the question, is this president of sound mind? And should we be comfortable with his so-called leadership, which now has to do with all Americans? If Donald Trump decides tomorrow, the only thing that is saving us, by the way, is that in the military, and I'm not a hawk, but you still have people in the military who will refuse to accommodate his bizarre desires. We can only hope there are still enough people in the military who would say, yeah, I know you think it might be a great idea to bomb such a country, in the morning, but we're not going to do that. We have to face this president down, and we have to educate him. In fact, we don't have to educate him. We just need to act. The Congress has just wilted away. And people are just being very quiet about what is an evident problem that was raised a long time ago concerning his mental and psychological makeup. I said it from the word go.
Well, my point is that, can I just make one more point? My point is that the decisions that were made apparently rationally and logically with Congress for the past, let's say, 20 years with the Clintons, with the Bushes, still have been disastrous. So now we have a president.
That's not the point. That's not the point.
Right.
It's not, you're comparing apples and oranges. This is a specific situation. Let's deal with that. There are many, many presidents before Donald Trump that we could point to as military strategists who were absolute disasters. But we saw that Congress, a vigorous Congress, posed a proper opposition and kept these presidents in line. This is not the case with this president. Everybody's acting as if, you know, he's having a tantrum. Let's leave him alone to work it all out. And you know, we come back to the table afterwards. No, he's out of order. And he's raging now. Because, as we discussed yesterday, he is terrified about the possibility of something else happening. So even this monumental decision comes as a ploy, a public relations ploy, as opposed to serious leadership here. Thanks a lot for your call. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello.
It seems very clear that this man is not fit for the job, nor has he ever been fit for the job. Like you said, you know, the room is closing in on him because of all of these investigations, and it seems like there's going to be more and more investigations. It looks like there are going to be maybe some indictments of his children. You know, he's not in a position to get his policies through. It's going to be constant conflict. And then once he realizes when he tweets and runs his mouth that he doesn't have a position to stand on, nor the backing of the Congress and the Senate is going to be able to only do but so much. With his mental state, you know, he's going to continue to do what he's just done yesterday and today, make rash and inept decisions that are going to cause conflict in the country. Like you said, these are decisions that have to be discussed with members of the government. You just can't make these type of decisions without input from other members of the government. And it seems like he doesn't understand that. He's never understood it. And he's just going to continuously to behave in this manner. Now, the sad thing is that those who are members of his so-called party are not going to stand up to him, are not going to basically confront him on his ill-advised behavior, nor is the media going to talk about the question, is he mentally competent to continuously do this job? So the American public is in a quagmire that it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You know, he should have never, ever even ran for this office. And it's unfortunate that the American public, in their ignorance and stupidity, allowed him.
Oh, no, you're not saying that. You can't blame the American public. They're doing the best they can with what they have.
Come on, cut it out.
Look,
you know,
here's the problem.
It is the American public.
You have a system that has remained really quiet. Only now are you beginning to see signals that within the ranks of the Republican Party, people are beginning to, you know, call him to account. He does not have the full loyalty of the Democratic Party. Not at all.
Yeah, then you should blame the stupid people in the Republican Party for their ignorance, thinking
that
the man was going to do something.
Don't say that they're stupid people. Don't say that.
What are they? Naive?
Have you interviewed every single one of them to find out whether they're stupid?
See, this is where we're going to disagree at. I don't have to interview somebody who makes ignorant and dumb decisions based on the farce.
What I'm saying is, if you are doing analysis, you can't talk so fast and loose and call people stupid because you haven't engaged with them. You can talk about the decisions. I'm not going to get into a discussion about whether people are stupid or not stupid based on the decisions that they feel are correct. It's on the same
side.
Well, the decision that they made in the Democratic Party.
I could say the same thing about them and their decision.
Right.
The decisions that they are making is destroying me and your lives. That's what's happening here.
I understand that. But if I were to keep my head on my shoulders for a little while longer, I will have to concede that I do not know every single member of the Democratic Party or every single member of the Republican Party. I have not interviewed them. I have not measured their individual capacity to think. But so I refrain from engaging in a discussion at that level.
Let's come up with a better word. Since you don't want me to use the S word, what could I say? Naive, foolish,
anything that doesn't cut the person or the people down.
Listen. The bottom line is we are gonna suffer as a nation for years and years to come because of this wingnut that's in the office right now. Now, listen, I have a lot of problems with the rest of them.
That is wrong. It is not about him. This is the whole point I've been trying to make. It's not about him. Because what we should be seeing is about the process. What people have allowed the process to become. Nothing.
Okay, I get you. I gotta agree with you because there shouldn't have been checks and balances in place to put a stop to this. listen, you trees. If you think about it, there should have been checks and balances in place to prevent someone like him from getting in this position, because you know the one group that I blame for him being placed in this position, and I don't think a lot of people see it or realize it, I blame the media. I blame the media totally for Donald Trump. That's who I blame. I don't blame nobody but the media.
There are many things that failed when it comes to Donald Trump and continue to fail, which is why I'm saying it is not too late to put an end to this way of governance. I don't recognize it as a legitimate way to govern.
You would tell us how we could put an end to it, because listen, I love your audience, I love your callers, but hey, sometimes we need someone at the top to point out how we could put an end to this, because in all truthfulness, some of the callers get it and some of us don't get it, and at times I don't get it, but we need to figure out how to get rid of this joker before it's gonna be bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because this guy's not getting no better. He's getting psychologically worse because he can't handle the pressure, because he's never dealt with this kind of attack from anyone, not in business, not in his personal life. No way in heaven has he ever had people coming after him in the manner that the forces are now coming after him. And I don't think that he's mentally capable of handling. If he was a smart man, he would resign. That's what I would do. If I was him, I would resign and ask to be pardoned of all of my crimes, and I would go off into wherever and keep my mouth and my fingers shut.
Go to Mar-a-Lago.
That's what I would
hang out there for a while.
that's what I would do. Because let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, Sister Utrice, and I really truly believe this, they're gonna destroy him. They're gonna destroy his family, and they're gonna destroy his corporation. I really truly believe it, because I know you've seen what the AG just did to his foundation here in New York. That's just the beginning. Now you got somebody like Tish James, who's the new AG in New York, who's now going to come after him even more because she got to defend the Democrats. So it's going to just get worse with this guy. And I don't believe that our country deserves this type of scrutiny by him. And I don't believe that we in the nation is going to move forward on the level that we should with this type of constant attack on this man, because it's no telling what he will do, because he's not a rational, sane individual.
Well,
that's emotionally stable.
See. But I thank you for your observations, and I thank you for your contribution today, Jay. Thanks so much for calling in. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello. How you doing?
All right, good. A couple things real quick. One, I know it is your opinion that Donald Trump has got a screw loose. He's not rational. But I have to say, it's not really apples and oranges to say that I don't think we've had a president in the last 20 years that was rational. We have a population of drug addicts, rapists, alcoholics. So, I mean, which one of them had his head on straight? I don't know which one. So I agree that Donald Trump has got a screw loose, but I would say all of them did. But even with a screw loose, the old saying that a broken clock is right twice a day, if he does pull the soldiers out of Syria, I don't care for what reason, it's a good thing. And if
we
don't think it's a good thing,
this is a point.
But we do know that the Syrian people think it's a good thing, and it's their country. We
yes,
do know that.
Country,
that's a fact.
But we don't know the fine details of
but
what
we do know that the Syrian people,
there.
The Syrian people will like it. That we do know for sure. That's a fact, that the Syrian people will like it because they didn't want us there in the first place. So the Syrian people will like it. We can take that and put that in stone. However, as far as going to Congress to pull out, when is the last time a president went to Congress to declare war? When was the last time they're supposed to go to Congress to declare war? When was the last time that happened? So if they're not going to go to Congress to declare war, why should we get upset if they don't go to Congress to pull out of a war? I'm happy about it.
It's not about getting upset. It is about understanding what we are owed as citizens of this country from somebody who says he is commander in chief and so forth. But we have fallen down on the job.
Well, when
we have never
held presidents
accountable for their behavior in this sense.
And when was the last time that happened?
So blatant, when you have somebody so blatantly flouting all kinds of things that we considered normal in a way, treaties, alliances, ways in which
and,
the United States decided.
And when
it
did America ever honor treaties? when was that? Did America honor
treaties?
We're
not going to go into a philosophical discussion because
I'm just asking, when was that?
No, it's an answer. We know what the answers are. I'm saying this president, perhaps more than any president in recent memory, has so flouted the law and what we expect as citizens to be informed about what our government is doing. And the apparatus of government, he has made it non-essential. And they have agreed. We are non-essential. They're not fighting.
Eutrice, pulling out of a war is certainly not flouting on the level of going to war with people without the American people being behind it, like various recent presidents have with false flag events. Bush going into Iraq and killing 500,000 children under the age of 6. Is that not more of a crime than Trump pulling out of Syria?
Yes, but did we Did we as a society make it compulsory that Madeleine Albright, who took great pride in that particular event?
Yes. Yes, she
okay.
did.
What have we done to her? We've done nothing.
That's my point. That's my point, to get upset over Trump pulling out. We haven't got upset over these presidents going in. We should be more upset about presidents going in.
People do this all the time when they debate.
Pulling
well,
out.
We haven't done it here, and therefore, what is the point of arguing it here? No, the point of it is there were people who should have raised that question, and she should have been made to pay for war crimes and genocide, as did Hillary Clinton. So we have a consistent issue here about people under the color of authority deciding they individually can do what they want to do because they have some kind of a power of authority. And we have allowed them to think that because we do nothing. We've allowed it. We've allowed these people to push beyond what was supposed to be understood as the law. And we've done it time and again. We've just sat by, and it's the topic of parties and intimate dinners. But we're not really pushing what we believe. We didn't see a bunch of people out there calling Madeleine Albright to account. So this is why we have these kinds of discussions. So it's not, to me, it is a conflict, raising issues today when we should have raised them a long time ago. I'm saying, we see the pattern, let's interrupt it now. Thanks everyone for listening. See each other tomorrow for Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.